buttons in morning air. Stranger silence makes me want to take the stairs. If you were here, we'd laugh about their vacant stares. But right now, my time is theirs. Seems like there's always someone who disapproves. They'll judge it like they know about me and you. And the verdict comes from those with nothing else to do. The jury's out, but my choice is you. So don't you worry your pretty little mind. People throw rocks with things that shine, and life makes love look hard. The stakes are high, the water's rough, but this love is ours. You never know what people have up their sleeves. Ghosts from your past gonna jump out at me. Lurking in the shadows with their lip gloss smiles. But I don't care, 'cause right now you're mine. And you'll say, don't you worry your pretty little mind. People throw rocks at things that shine, and life makes love look hard. The stakes are high, the water's rough, the gap between your teeth. And I love the riddles that you speak, and any snide remarks from my father about your tattoos will be ignored, 'cause my heart is yours. So don't you worry your pretty little mind. People throw rocks with things that shine, and life makes love look hard. Don't you worry your pretty little mind. People throw rocks at things that shine, but they can't take what's ours. They can't take what's ours. The stakes are high, the water's rough, but this love is ours.
Hey there, this is Little Fish on Life's a Beach. You are listening to Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. Life's a Beach is a show about how to survive being a little fish in a big pond. Now, there are many things that can make us feel small or put us down, and history is filled with heroes that made it through the trials and tribulations that made today a better place. So today, I want to talk about the heroines that made it through these struggles and what their actions have done for society today. I want to examine what it means to be a woman in this century and how the demands on being a woman have changed and shaped society throughout the ages. So sit back and relax and let your inner feminist take the wheel. And we're going to get started on our very first segment, which is going to focus on women of history and what impact they have made on society. So where do you start with women? You start from the very beginning. And so in early societies that were hunter-gatherers, women were in charge of gathering goods for the tribe and making sure that the children were raised in the correct manner. They were in charge of making sure that the children were healthy, and they did everything when all the child rearing, I don't say all, but most of the child rearing, all on their own while the men were out hunting and doing other things for the tribe. But what very few people actually know is that there have been tribes in the early societies that women were actually in charge of, and they were the heads of the whole small society. And I think that's really interesting, because people look to women and sometimes they really fear, like, will they be able to hold all the power? Will they be able to put aside all their emotions and do what's right for the tribe and such? But the fact that there have been tribes from the very beginning of early societies that were ruled by women, that just shows that not only can we do it, but we've done it since the beginning. So I think that's really an important thing to start off with, is not only are women powerful and they have the ability to lead, but they always have been able to have this ability in them. So jumping forward just a little bit to 1750 BC, the Code of Hammurabi, it's a Babylonian code of law, and it protects a woman's right to hold and inherit property. And I think that's really interesting, because fast forward centuries, women weren't even able to vote until 1920. Like, how is that gap such a large gap when this code from 1750 BC mentions that they have the ability to inherit property? So let's rewind back. I'm jumping too ahead of myself. I apologize. In 1500 BC, female students could attend medical school in Egypt. In 776 BC, women were barred from watching and competing at the first recorded Olympics. So what I'm going to go over in this is not only are women have many positives, but there were actually a lot of things that held them back. And I think that it's really important to note that as well, because you have to know what things that we were able to overcome and then what things still held us back. So even at the very first Olympics, women weren't even there to be able to be supporters or to compete. And I think that's really unfortunate, but luckily that has changed. In 600 BC in Sparta, girls were trained in sports so that they would become strong and healthy mothers. And so they were taught things such as discus and how to run correctly, and javelin something. And I think that's really funny how it's like 176 years later that they were taught these things just so they could be strong mothers, so they can be influential on their own children. In 300 BC, Athenian philosopher Hipparchia studied the Cynocrates of Thebes, and she forced her parents to let her marry him, and she boasted about how her life was going to be based on education and not on weaving things. And she supported herself and made sure that she put herself and her education in the foremost part of her life. And I think that's a really good lesson to learn for all females, that not only is it good to be a mother or good to, you know, do all those things, but it's really great that if you put yourself first and put your education in front of all those things, then that way you can become the best form of yourself through education. And lastly, for the early history, in 195 BC, this woman seized power from her son and became the very first woman ruler of China. And to have a woman ruler of China, now that we look back, it's very significant because of the country that it is and all the rules and all the interesting parts of history that China does hold, that this woman was able to become a ruler and be very influential over the rulings of that early society. So we're going to move forward a little bit more to AD, And in 1429, Joan of Arc, which many of you out there have definitely heard of, she began her military and religious campaign against the English. And at the Battle of Orleans, she led the French army to victory. And it's interesting to see how this woman was able to be so influential in a military aspect that it shows us how strong that we really are. And there's always been controversy of, can women be on the front lines? Can they, you know, handle it? All of that controversy and such. But to even see that Joan of Arc in 1429 was able to have the strength and the courage and to be brave enough to be on the front lines and to lead a campaign to victory, it's really interesting to see that she was able to do that. And yet even today we question the motives and everything behind what we do, and the fact that she was able to do it without even blinking an eye, because she knew it was what needed to be done, and she did it. And so going on from that, we can see that there are early rulers that were female that were able to be very influential over their people and to make their stamp in history, such as in England with Elizabeth I or Mary Queen of Scots. They both were very influential and are stamps in history that when we look back, we can only try and understand their standpoint and how they were able to rule over people that sometimes didn't even want them to be there. But, you know, that's what happens in early societies. So we're going to fast forward a little bit more to how there was the Salem witch trials. And this whole scenario, honestly, really interests me. I think it's so funny how something so small can slowly blow up into something very, very significant. If you study the Salem witch trials, you can see how it all started and how it all came down to women talking about other women and how they were fearful of things that didn't actually exist, and how people were put on trial, and the only way that they could recover from being put there is to say that they were a witch, even if they weren't. And the whole thing comes down to honesty and fear and what we allow ourselves to fully understand about other people. And it's the whole situation is interesting. So if you have time, I would say read more about it and really study it, because if you look at the main concept of the Salem witch trials, this can definitely be seen throughout society today. Those same aspects are still there. Going into more specific people, Sybil Ludington was a 16-year-old Revolutionary War hero. And to be a woman in the Revolutionary War was unheard of, but she was a hero. She did something very important to help those around her when she wasn't even supposed to be there, technically. Martha Washington was the very first lady of Washington, and she was very influential with the President Washington. In 1729, more than 8,000 partisan market women marched on Versailles and presented their demands to the National Assembly and to the King. And to be able to march and to have your say in 1789, that's such a big impact that we today take for granted, that we can see that we have our own voice. But people back then, women back then, they weren't seen as important. Their voice wasn't as loud. But to be able to do that is incredibly influential. Abigail Adams was the first lady to John Adams, and she influenced politics through letters to her husband. And I've actually been able to see a few of these letters. on my travels, and it's so interesting the power that women have, I would say over men, but with men, that they can compromise and find even ground. And I know it's so hard to think that sometimes, because some people are really stubborn, but what Abigail and John had with each other was they had a firm understanding of what needed to be done and how to do it. And I think that's, she really helped early history and how to shape the United States into what it is today. In 1793, Hannah Slater received the very first U.S. pennant, and she was granted to a woman for a type of cotton thread, which helped her husband build a successful textile business. And Sacagawea, she was a Shoshone guide that led Lewis and Clark on their expedition in 1804. And I've heard so many stories about this woman when she went on the expedition, that she was pregnant and she even had to give birth without obviously any medication and on their travels. And she's just a very influential woman, and I personally really want to learn more about her. So I hope I can get more information on her. In 1848, the Seneca Falls Convention was held, and it launched the women's suffrage movement in the United States. And the document that they formed was the Declaration of Sentiments, and it was modeled after the Declaration of Independence. And Susan B. Anthony was, she fought for over 50 years for women's rights. Claire Barton was a founder of the American Red Cross. Betsy Ross was America's first, most famous flag maker. In 1863, Mary Edwards Walker became a surgeon for the Union Army in the Civil War. Molly Pitcher, which is her real name is Mary Hayes McClary, and she brought water to men in battle. And it's actually fabled that she took over for her husband when he was wounded, and so she took his gun and defended his men, which I find, I'm not really sure if they can ever really stabilize that as a true story, but even if it isn't, that's awesome. Like, I think it's really great that she put herself out there in war to help men. In 1865, she went on to receive a Congressional Medal of Honor. Sarah Edmonds published her autobiography, Nurse and Spy in the Union, in the Union Army, describing her undercover work disguised as a man. And as I said earlier, I think it's really interesting that women have such a strong hold in military works. Just a few more. Harriet Tubman was a leader of the Underground Railroad to lead slaves to freedom. And Sojourner Truth was the first black woman to speak publicly against slavery. There's just so many women in early history that gave us the path to walk on, to know that it's okay to be the first to do something. That's actually quite exciting, to be courageous and to be brave and to do something that no one has actually done before, to prove people wrong when they say that women can't do things, and to say that it is perfectly okay to speak out and to say what's on your mind. So we're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back with our second segment. And this is Penguin Radio on radio.dominican.edu. And we'll be right back.
I wipe my brow and I sweat my rust. I'm breathing in the chemicals. I'm breaking in.
sun hasn't died. Deep in my bones, straight from inside.
This is Penguin Radio, and this is Life's a Beach. I'm a little fish, and welcome back to our show. Today, we are talking about women and their influence on society. Sometimes being a woman is hard because we are put into situations where we feel little and we feel like a little fish. So today, we are going to talk about how women in history have really gone on to change that, and what we can do to be a part of that as well. So the first segment, we talked about the early history of women and how they influenced. And right now I'm going to focus a little bit more on recent history and those women and what they have done for us. And so to start off with that, we're going to see, we're going to talk about Amelia Earhart, how she was the first woman to fly solo nonstop across the Atlantic. And in early aviation history, it was unheard of that not only could women fly, but that they could do something so traumatic. And Amelia really put herself out there and was brave and put herself across the Atlantic and was successful. Dr. Elizabeth Blackwell, she was the first woman physician in the United States. In 1900, British tennis player Charlotte Cooper won the first women's gold medal at the Olympics. And that really set a standard for women, not only in the United States, but across the world, of what they can do and what their athletic ability can put them. And there now, if you watch the Olympics, it's hard to imagine the games without women and all the amazing things that they can do. And It's so gratifying to know that now they have something to shoot for and to continue getting more gold. Frances Perkins was the first woman member of presidential cabinet appointed by FDR. And FDR's wife, Eleanor Roosevelt, who is the first, not only a first lady, she was a diplomat, a social reformer, and a writer. She really was a role model for women across the country during one of the most harshest times in American history, during the Depression and onward. She really was influential when it came to reform and making sure that there were social aspects all across the nation that helped different types of people. Mildred, she was one of the greatest athletes in the 20th century because she excelled not only in track, but she also did well in golf and baseball and basketball. And to say that you are a woman that can do all that, all those sports, really puts a good name out there for us women. Harriet Quimbley was the first woman pilot to fly the English Channel. And I personally have never been to the English Channel, but I have been blessed to have an uncle that swam across the English Channel, and it was such a great fit. It was a great thing that he was able to succeed in, because not many people have, but to fly across it, I would think would just be as dangerous and as exhilarating. So congratulations to you both. Alice Paul was a founder of the National Woman's Party and author of the Equal Rights Amendment. And that amendment really tried to make women equal and put them in a standard that helped them be seen in society as not lower class, not something to be stepped on, but someone to look at and just know that equality is there. Haiti Wyatt Carraway was the first woman elected to the U.S. Senate. And that really set forth because now there are many women that not only are in the Senate, but are in the House of Representatives and are governors and are parts of state legislature. And it's so amazing to know that women can now represent the voice that was once silenced. There are many other women in recent history that have made a mark for us, like Marie Curie. She was a physicist and chemist and was a pioneer in the field of radioactivity, and she was honored for the Nobel laureate, and she really made it possible for women to have a voice in science. And to think that it's just a man's field, and like, it's very, you know, put down that women go into science, but she really made it prevalent that it's okay to study and to like different sciences and to become a doctor, become anything that you want, no matter what medical field that it's in. And she really put her voice out there for women across the country. Anne Frank, though she was a very young woman, and her voice wasn't heard until after her passing, it's the words that she left for us that really left a mark on what we see as fit in a society, and how being peaceful and how not taking people for granted, and all of the beautiful words that she wrote in her diary, and how they still stand as important today, no matter what century, no matter what war, no matter what opposition we have. The words that she has for us will be forever remembered. Rosa Parks was the mother of the civil rights movement. She was brave enough to stand up for herself and say no when she didn't want to give her seat up to another. And she really set the standard for women across the country during this movement, because not only was it scary to speak out if you were a woman, but to speak out if you were a Black woman is incredibly courageous of her. So she really set the standard. Mother Teresa, Princess Diana, these women just really have brought forth such genuine care to the world, and have showed us that no matter if you are rich or if you're poor, you can still make a difference. And I'm going to take this part of my segment to talk about the strong women that I have in my life, and how I've been blessed to have great role models to live up to. Like, I know I talked about my mother multiple times, but she really is someone that I look up to because she has strength and beauty in everything she does. She was blessed to come from a family of many girls, and all of my aunts have become second mothers to me when I need them the most. And they always were there when I needed to talk to someone or to just help me escape. The other weekend, my aunt who lives up here, who I don't get to see very often, she took me away and just was just an ear, and she let me vent of all of my stress and all of my worries, and she was there to put a smile on my face. And it's things like that that I'm blessed to be able to say that she's such a strong woman that I look up to. I have many other aunts that are in Southern California, and they continue to make me smile, make me feel special, and make me feel blessed. And to know that they are such strong influences on me is such a blessing. And so I have them, and as well I have my grandmother, who has been through so much, but she continues to stay strong and just put a smile on her face and always has something new to say, and to give me books to further my education. Even if I know I don't have time to read them, it's just the fact that she thought about me in those moments of going through her things, that she wanted me to have a part of her with her. So those are the women that I have in my life that have led me to see that they are great role models. But I have such great girlfriends that really have put me in a place to further understand what it means to be a woman in modern society and how we together can make this generation stronger and to really push forward to something that we can make this world even better. So that's the second segment of today. We're going to take a short break and we're going to come up next talking about the many different things of modern society and what we can do to help it. So we're going to take a short break. This is Penguin Radio on radio.dominican.edu. This is Lil Fish on Life's a Beach.
Kept a light on through the trouble, treaded water in a sea of tears. Now I'm shooting arrows across your night sky, trying to land in your atmosphere. If we can make it through the storm, become who we were before. Promise me we'll never look back. The worst is far behind us now. We'll make it out of here somehow. Meet me in the aftermath. Oh, meet me in the aftermath. Much more to life than all of the hours, moments that just slip beneath our feet, and the times that we put it all on the table, and help feels too far beyond our reach. If we can make it through the storm, become who we were. Promise me we'll never look back. The worst is far behind us now. We'll make it out of here somehow.
Hey there, this is Penguin Radio with Little Fish. You are listening to Life's a Beach on radio.dominican.edu. Now, a little Dominican news real quick. There's an academic showcase poster presentation. If you're planning to participate in this on Thursday, May 1st, your registration is due now. And so please be sure to drop that off in Guzman 210. BSU is sponsoring two events this week, Politics of Artistic Expression with Bruce George on Wednesday, today, at 8 o'clock in Guzman Lecture Hall, and Rasta Jam, which is on Saturday, March 22nd, at 9 o'clock in Conlon Gym. And that's news for Dominican. So today, we on Life's a Beach, we are talking about women and their impact that they have on society and how women in history have done things, but how women today can do things as well to change the great things about our world. So just a peek at modern women that have made a big impact on things that we've already been working on lately. Our first lady, Michelle Obama. She has been working closely with the president, but also with different parts of the government to help ensure healthy eating across the nation. And I think that's really important in a nation that eating healthy isn't always put on the forefront of our minds. We just grab food and go because we're always in a hurry. We're always getting places. But Michelle Obama really has worked to help people understand that it's okay to grab things and go, but just make sure that they are on the healthy side, and especially working with children to teach them early on what food is good for our bodies and what things are not. So Michelle Obama has really made an impact on our life. Angelina Jolie, though she is a famous actress and she has won many awards, she also works with humanitarian societies and working with children across the world and making sure that they have a home and that they feel safe. And she has, I believe, a documentary. I know it's a film about her journey going through different countries and helping out children. So if you have a chance, I would check that out. She's done some really great work. Hillary Clinton, she is not only a huge impact in the government, but she really has shown that women can hold such high standards in the government. And the fact that she has ran for president just shows that women are one step closer to holding that office, hopefully one day soon. So good job, Hillary. And then there's the TV hosts such as Oprah and Ellen DeGeneres, who really have, through their work on television, have brought good to the world. They have both donated countless amounts of money to families in need. They have brought different issues that need to be discussed to the forefront of people's minds through their television shows. And they are allowed, and they allow people to discuss all of their issues with an open mind and open heart. And the things that those two have both done for our nation and for different causes around the world have led people to fully give of themselves and to give of their, not only their pocketbooks, but to be able to have a further understanding of what it means to have a heart and to give without even thinking twice. So both women have really made a face in television, but in a good way. And then there's different people who really don't have a famous title to themselves, but they really have made an impact on society, such as women firefighters and police officers and those who serve in the military. They don't, not necessarily everyone in the world knows their name, but they continue to help society through their actions and through their words. Women lawyers, women service people, they really do give of their time and effort in a way that is in the most caring way possible. So they really deserve to have a shout out as well. So continuing on, there are many different women in novels that I have felt I completely connect with. There have been women authors who have put themselves out there when it was really scary to do so, and they have become strong role models for people who, during that time, that were able to go against society's norms and to do what they thought was right, such as Louisa May Alcott. She wrote Little Women, and I grew up watching Little Women in the movie form, And I always thought that it was so, like, it was such a great movie because I honestly was so young, I didn't know there was a book. But I always thought it was so great because Jo, one of the main characters, she was such a strong character. She was very, like, she could be very stubborn at times, but she always reminded me of a little bit of myself. She was very strong in everything she did. She wanted to be a writer. She fell in love with the neighbor boy, but he ended up with his sister. Kind of weird. But anyways, it was just a story that was such about family and about sisterhood, but it was also about what it meant to be a woman during that time. And looking back, I think it really influenced the way that I look at myself and I look at other women in my life, and I can see how their strength has really influenced me in the most positive way. So Little Women is not only a novel, but a movie that could really help us understand what it means to be strong. Harriet Beecher Stowe published Uncle Tom's Cabin in 1852, and it is regarded as one of the most important anti-slavery novels in America. And during that time, slavery was norm. It was something that wasn't questioned, and though there was many conflicts about it, nobody really wanted to take it head on because the South was so strong about it. But she really took it by the head of and wrote about it and said that it, through her words, she was able to tell a message that translated not only to the people that were experiencing it firsthand, but to those who really didn't, who didn't really fully understand what was happening. So not only are there strong female writers, but there are strong female characters that have made an influence through society. If you read Pride and Prejudice, Elizabeth Bennet really puts herself out there, and in a time where women had no status and they really relied on men to decipher if they were going to be successful or if they were going to be housemaids. And Elizabeth Bennet, she does not want to marry for that. She wants to marry for love, and she doesn't care if she's going to be alone, but she'd rather do that than to do something that she felt in her heart wasn't right. So through Jane Austen's words, she really brings Elizabeth Bennet to life because she shows just how strong and how smart and how witty women truly are, and how no matter what society wants them to do, nothing will hold that back from her and her strong character. And it's personally one of my favorite books, and I've watched the movie, can't even tell you how many times, but it really, again, has shown me what strength in people truly is. For the younger generation, Nancy Drew, she really put herself in a situation where she was always able to use her smarts, and she was clever, and she was fiercely devoted to solving these crimes that were happening all around. And I read a bunch of these books when I was little because I always found it super amazing that not only was the main character a female, but they made her seem like she was fearless. And no matter what situation that she was put into, she always was able to deal with it with such grace. And it really helped me understand that it's okay to be afraid, but it's also okay to stand up for myself and to know that in the end, it's just going to be me against the world, and I can take it on if I'm truly strong enough to do so. And doing research for this project, I came across a novel that was written during desegregation, and about how there was a time when a few black students were put into a white school in Alabama, and among these students they were females, and the research showed like how they were treated and one of the things that they were said, and the horrible things that they were put through. And it was interesting to note that the book that the research brought me to was written by one of my former professors, Melba Beals. And I always appreciated the works that my former teacher told us about. But to have her words be brought upon my research to talk about strong women really helped me understand what a great blessing it was to have her be able to teach me, because not only now do I see the strength that she had during this time of segregation and hardship, but I can still see that she still carries that with her today, and she still continues to show people that it's okay to stand up for yourself, because in the end, you're going to be right. You're going to be okay, because, you know, this is life. And so her book is Warriors Don't Cry. And so if you have a time to take a look at it, it's extremely powerful and moving in her words. And there's so many movies now, or books that are being changed into movies and or plays to help people further understand the concept that they're trying to bring forward, such as Alphaba in Wicked. That is a Broadway show and also a book. And so she's such a strong character, because not only is she different, but she shows her strength through her unique abilities and such. There's The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. There's so many more, like a Little Princess. She went through hardship as well. And so just this segment is talking about how women are not only strong in the past, in the present, and in literature, but also through so many different other aspects of our life. So I'm going to take one more short break, and we will be back to wrap up our show. And thank you for listening to Penguin Radio. This is Little Fish on Life's a Beach. And we will be taking one short little break. We'll be right back.
I can feel you step away now. Subtle, but there's things I've grown to learn. It's in the way you're moving hearts around, but I'm climbing on top. Keeping me away.
Just
Welcome back to Penguin Radio. This is Little Fish on Life's a Beach. And today we are talking about women and the many glorious things that they have done for society. So just a little reminder for those out there. I've just mentioned my former teacher, Melba Beals, and on March 31st is Diversity Day here at Dominican, and you'll be honoring Melba as she goes on to retire. So if you can come stop on by, that would be really great. I'm sure she would really appreciate it. So to wrap up my show today, I just want to say that women really have done so much for society. And though people still continue to say, oh, you can't do this because you're a girl, you can't do that, you can't do this, you can't play this sport, you can't be on sports television, you can't work in this factory, you can't go to space, you can't do this, you can't be in military, you can't do that. Well, guess what? We can. And I'm sorry for those of you out there who believe otherwise, but you know, women really have put themselves out there to do all these things. We have played every sport and won gold medals for that. We have been on the television, and if you've seen ESPN lately, I'm sure you've seen some women out there. We have worked in factories since the world wars, and we have made the different industrial things that needed to be made for the war to be successful, so you're welcome. We went to space. We have hosted television shows and been successful. We have been in the military for years now. And there's so many things that we have yet to do, but we are working toward it. And I think that is really important to really know that not only are we working toward it, but we're going to be successful in doing so. And we every day need to remember to inspire the next generation to look to our children, to look to our grandchildren, and to look at them and tell them that they're going to take up the job one day, and we will have to pass the torch to bring about more women influences and success. We can do this by putting them in Girl Scouts because they teach them these skills. We can teach them through one-on-one experiences and such. We need to be able to dispel the negativity of modern society by showing them that there's more to life than trying to get on Teen Mom or being on Jersey Shore or singing songs about taking selfies and all that jazz. We need to show them that there's more than all that negativity. So today we talked about the early women in society and how they made an impact through being in charge of tribes to being the first to be a ruler of China to Joan of Arc, who led victories, led a military victory, to different women who helped during the Revolutionary War, the Civil War, those who trekked across America with Lewis and Clark, the women who fought against the judgments of others and put their voice out there to get equal rights for women and that were against slavery. The first women that won gold at the Olympics to fly across the United States, to fly across the Atlantic. Women that were able to put themselves into science and be successful. And even today, the women that work toward making America the best country out there. We have all of these people, all of these role models, and even if we can't relate to them one-on-one, we always have women in our own life that continue to do so. So I hope that you enjoy this beautiful spring afternoon and look toward your female correspondents as role models during the Women's History Month of March. So I hope you have a great day. And this is Little Fish on Life's a Beach. And this is Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. Thank you and have a great day.